Yeah, hello. Craig said to me that there are a number of visitors that are here today, so welcome, first. And second, there are two types of visitors, really. Let me just introduce myself. I'm Rod McNeil, and I'm the principal at Mundaring Christian College, which is secondary up at Parkerville and primary down at Mundaring. Prior to that, I was a pastor, and the last bit of kind of full-time ministry I did was in Moscow in Russia in the 90s, which caused me to flee to the sweet refuge of education. And here I am today. I am trying to do two things at once, which is sign into my computer and talk to you. Just smile if I do it well. Okay. What I want to just say when I said that there are two types of visitors that you can have over this time of the year is that you can have people that are moving around, visiting relatives, coming up for a holiday, and they have a church that they go to, and this is another church they're visiting during this holiday time. The other is people that are coming with friends, or you've just come into church yourself. When I first came to church, I was about 23 years old, and I came totally by myself. Can I tell you that everybody here is not in or out? Please feel, if you're visiting and you're not a regular churchgoer, that you're part of us today. You're part of what God's doing in this place. And if there is a good attitude that you could have to what's about to unfold in this service, is to open your heart and to say, God, if you are there and you want to say something to me, then I'll look past this guy and I'll open my heart, and I hope that in this you say something to me, because in the place where I am, I need to hear something. So I'll leave that with you. I'm actually preaching on keeping the heart. As a school principal, the last thing that we do on the last day of school for staff is we finish off really well. We have a worship service like we've just had, and then a message. And this is the message that I gave, and then we go off to Christmas lunch. I'm saying that because there are a number of staff members that are in the congregation. If you leave, my heart will be gracious towards you. However, I have souped it up somewhat in deference to this awesome congregation. So, the book of Proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs and find it very comforting and challenging at many times. But often we can use the book of Proverbs as a promise box. We just take little verses and use them ad hoc. The scripture that Phil read for us is actually the scripture that I want to preach. And if you could put that up, that scripture back up, that would be great. I want to preach from this in this whole collective sense. And the reason, both at the end of our school year and now, that I want to preach on the heart is because it's last year, 3 days ago, so 2020 was a tough year. And for many of us, we've faced challenges and things that would cause us actually to be a little bit affected in the heart. You might have been through some tough relationships. You might have been through some tough times. You might have faced some difficult obstacles. But what I want to say to you is that this word that I'm about to look at speaks to us about staying on the path and renewing our hearts. So let's have a look. The beginning I love, because it speaks of the path of the righteous. And I love that concept. This is the concept that the Bible uses for us as a people that haven't arrived. One day we will, but we haven't yet. And talks to us about being pilgrims or sojourners, people not quite on a holiday, but kind of grey, not quite grey nomads, but moving through life. I love the fact that the early church called themselves the Way. In fact, Christianity was a term defined in Antioch, and it was a put-down. These little Christs, these people always speaking about Christ. It was actually a put-down term. The original way that Christians saw themselves were people on the way. And so we're walking and we're on this path. Originally, when I became a Christian at around the age of 23, I saw this scripture as meaning that the path of the righteous is like the dawn that shines brighter and brighter. It's like we just keep getting better and better. We are on a road of constant improvement. We start at the early dawn, but we come to an explosive radiance. The last 39 years have not quite added up to that. I see it in a different light. I look at our lives and my life along the path, and from where I am now, I was hoping there'd be much more ta-da! But I'm finding there's a lot of ta-da! What this is really speaking about is increasing revelation, is increasing light, that as we go, we have the opportunity of seeing more clearly. And this is why I love both the book of Proverbs and the Word of God, because it enables us to see. And my position, preaching to you right now, is not like that of a self-help author. You know, hey, this is what I am, and this is what you need to be. But it's more like a fellow sojourner, and this is what I see. And let me show you what I have seen in the Word of God. That's the beauty of the Word of God. It's something that we can see and attain to and have more light from. I find that both humbling and enabling. So what this scripture says, if we go off to the next, let me kind of read through it again with you. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So think about this centrality of the heart. God looks at our heart, and while not specifically defined, it is the center of a person. It is our innermost beings. It's the place of our thoughts and our emotions and our will. They're all seated there. Salvation, which is the way that we come to right relationship with God, is the place where we find His rescue and His personal relationship. Salvation is for the heart. Psalm 51:10. If we roll on, Psalm 51:10 is there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Romans 10:9. If you confess, and me too, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus taught that man's conduct begins with the heart. The real story of why we do what we do begins in our heart. In Mark 7:21, Jesus said, "For out from within, from out of the heart of men, proceed." And then he listed a bunch of quite challenging things, really. The direction of our lives at this turn of the year and for every day of our lives comes from the condition of our hearts. For out of it spring the issues of life. And the picture here is of water flowing into a lake. The origin and the source of all that that lake becomes and produces comes from what's fed into it. And what's fed into it comes from our heart. Our heart feeds and finds life for us. So because the heart is so critical, we are obligated before God to keep our hearts, to tend for them, to look after them. And we need to look honestly at our hearts, and this is something that is not so straightforward. In Jeremiah 17:9, the word of God says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So it's not like an easy fix. It's a challenge for us to sort and order and tend to the garden of our hearts. With all diligence means it's our top priority before anything else. It's the picture to a desert nomad people of guarding a well that you will not let be taken from you. And the challenge to you today is begin to see and consider, where's your heart at? "Search me, O God," Psalm 139. Oh, man. Good job. I thought, while they're flicking to Psalm 139, I'll get a quick chance for a swig. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, to see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's the heart and the path. And so in our text, it mentions four agents that affect and keep the heart. It mentions our ears, our eyes, our lips, and our feet. And these are the places where we tend to our heart, because these are the places that will pull at my heart. So let's first consider our ears in verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." I love the approach of the book of Proverbs because it is relational. The whole context of the book of Proverbs is like a father speaking to a son. These are spoken words of somebody who loves another, trying to help and orient them. Throughout the book of Proverbs, you'll hear, my son, and don't be worried if you're a feminist. It's just the way they spoke in those days. My child, my daughter, my person that I'm older than, further along the road in, but deeply care for. That's the context in which it's spoken. My son, Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. You know what? We need people in our lives that speak well to our hearts. We need, at every stage of our lives, somebody who can be a mentor to us, a good friend. People who have something to give you. Wisdom, commitment, direction, challenge. We desperately need to keep our hearts right, accountable relationships that God has placed in our lives. And that's why He's asked us to be part of a church. You know, I'm looking out at people here that I work with and colleagues, and it comes upon me that recently I had to write a letter in confidence where I said I was wrong. And you know, the only, I thought I was so right. But the only thing I had to base on my wrongness was the fact that a handful of people that I respect thought I was wrong. And I go, it's 5-1. I'm not going to keep fighting. Maybe you've got 5 people that don't think you're right too. I hope so. I don't want to be the only one in the room. Listen to this though. Psalm 5:12. How I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers. There you go. You can quote that, members of staff. Nor incline my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin, in the midst of an assembly and a congregation, in the midst of good people giving me good advice that I didn't take. I nearly ruined myself. You know what? Here's the takeaway line. I need to reread it. Your heart cannot thrive when it only listens to its own voice. Pause and say amen. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, we've got gold and silver around our house. We collected it up yesterday in case we had to leave quickly. But think about these people that word was spoken to. How precious gold and silver must have been to them. It would be the precious family heirlooms. And in my job, and most of our jobs, we speak an abundance of words. We speak a lot of words every day. Words can be very fleeting things. But a word fitly spoken, sometimes the words that somebody can speak to you can be like apples of gold in settings of silver. They can be something that will have a lasting, profound, heirloom impact upon you and the generations after you. We need to hear those words when they come to us, words fitly spoken. Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The course of your heart will be set by your lips and by the lips of others. Our words have potent power. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. You know, when it says deceitful, the word is an old English word, before it was an Aramaic word, or after it was an Aramaic word. That means a picture of twisting by knotting or binding. Think about bonsai. Think about Chinese foot binding. It is somehow that lips and words have become twisted and the next word deviates. The word perverse lips means to deviate by unraveling. It means our words can take us down a path. Our whole life is words. Your tongue has creative power, and your perceptions are linked to your words. Be careful about what you say, and be careful about what you say about other people. Because when you say something about other people, all your perceptions will then move to justify what you've said. If you say they're a noodle head, then everything noodillic about them you will notice. Everything non-noodillic about them you will overlook. The same if they're a dingbat or a peanut brain. We notice about people what we say about them. It's a great way to say, why don't you speak well as you can. Our words have potent power, and they set the course of our lives. Our ears, our words, our eyes. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. What does that mean? Can I tell you something about standing in front of crowds and speaking to them? If you fall asleep or just go, like I do, it's really easy to be seen. Your eyes are just like these little black slitty things. You've all got them there. You're kind of part of the crowd. But your eyelids are like these huge advertisements. That's like looking at a drive-in picture theatre. Just thought I'd throw that in. So it's talking about your eyes and your eyelids. It means what you choose to see and what you don't choose to see. And I think that concept is lost on the world. We are pretty much gazing directly at stuff that people from previous generations would have been really shocked or embarrassed by. And our eyes are a gate. They are a window or a door into our hearts. In Genesis 3:6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. It all began with the eyes. Because there are simply some things that we should see and some things that we shouldn't. There are other things that we should see through. So this isn't all just about whether you watch G, PG, MA movies. It's about how you set yourself up to perceive. How you see. What would be the characteristic of the way that you perceive? Optimistically, looking for the positive, skeptical, jaundiced. These are perceptions. And what we see, what we don't see, and what we see through affect our heart. The final perspective here this morning is around our feet. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. It's a funny experience for me standing up here to preach, because there are these pits in the floor here and here, and a very thin mesh along the top. Will it hold my weight? Now, I trust Craig and his ability to work with metal. So I'm going to test something I hadn't thought of beforehand. Is that okay? I was going to go 1 foot, but I'll go 2 foot. Because when you dive into stuff, that's the safety position. Yeah. I remember a friend of mine, I am deviating a little bit, but I got a minute. A friend of mine, he said, "Oh, Rod, I was praying and praying, and I was standing at the end of this cliff, and I was just praying, you know, I was seeing this picture of a cliff as I was praying, and I didn't want to enter into temptation, and you know, so I said, God, don't let me fall. Don't let me fall." He said, "God said to me, don't jump." There are just places that you need not to be. Like in real estate, they say location, location, location. There are some places that you just don't want to put your feet. But the steps that we take affect not only our heart, but our destiny. So there is an understanding that we should weigh each step we take. A great question to ask yourself at the beginning of this year is, where is the path that I am walking on taking me? What will the outcome of this be? It's really essentially all that I've got to say. Being a school principal and a teacher, I don't think it's right for me to speak for this period of time and not give you any homework. My advice would be, if this is still holiday time for you, if this is still, you know, that kind of reflection time for you, that time where you are ending one experience and hoping for another, you know, we're on the third day into our commitments. Take that portion of scripture and pray over it and reflect over it and let it percolate in you. And take time to rest well. Take time to be a good amongst good people. Take time to revive your spirit and your heart. Last week, when Brad preached, he mentioned a series of R words. I nearly died, because I've got a series of R words, Brad, and I was so proud of them. Oh. What I want to do now is, that's the end of the sermon. Sermons are not just designed to be something that informs you. Oh, that was interesting. That was good teaching. They're meant to be something that transforms you. They're meant to be beyond me. And the way they get beyond me is when you make decisions personally about the word that you've heard. And we're moving into, at this part of the service, communion. I love the word communion. Because what it means is to commune, to take opportunity to reflect upon and enter into the substance of our relationship with God by reminding ourselves of the body that was broken for us, and the blood that was shed for us. Because if we're just the people that reorient our hearts by sheer force of will or intelligence or whatever, I think we're sunk. What we desperately need is the strength of God's Spirit, the direction of His Word, and the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood forgives and renews us. So we're going to come to a time that we take these emblems, the wafer reflecting on His body, the juice, wine reflecting on His blood. And I'd like to ask you to do some things during that and perhaps continue that in personal response to where your heart is today and where you want your heart to be and where you want the way that you walk and the path that you go on to go this year. Take time to reflect. Take time to repent. Take time to reorient. Take time to renew.